He has a voice that sounds just like the movie phone guy. I'm gonna have him do the intro.
That's awesome.
Like, he's all animated and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I actually had the movie phone guy as a substitute teacher one time.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, that's a way to keep people awake during class.
Yeah, it worked.
Hello, welcome to the Medicinal Mass Podcast. I'm your host, Valentin Strand, and what we're shooting for here is an anti-dare sort of program. And with our first guest for our first episode, we have Isaac Smoke. How you doing?
Hi.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about drugs and substances. So what was the first drug you ever took, and what age?
I want to say sugar, and I want to say like 3. If you don't consider sugar a drug, it would have probably been caffeine or aspirin.
Right. No, yeah, sugar's definitely a drug.
I don't remember how old I was when I first had sugar.
Yeah, I can't, I can actually remember the first time I did sugar. I remember my dad putting it on a bowl of Wheaties for me and just mounding it on the top, and I was like, what is that? What are you doing? And then I ate it, and I was like, I'm doing this forever. And, yeah. All right, so what's your drug of choice now?
That is a good question. I'm thinking LSD comes to mind right away, but I'm not entirely sure.
How many times do you think you've taken acid?
Somewhere between like 20 and 30, I would say.
Nice. And what's your normal dosage?
I don't know the micrograms, but it's just
like hits, I would say. Like, how many hits do you usually take?
2 to 3 tabs.
Nice.
Sometimes just one if they're good.
Okay, and why do you choose acid as your favorite?
A friend of mine described it probably the best way I can think to put it. It just connects the subconscious and the conscious mind in a way that isn't normally, it doesn't normally happen that way.
Right.
And it's just, there's more lucid thought and connection to reality through that than I've experienced. Like, when I first took LSD, I felt more sober, more aware, more
connected,
lucid, yeah, more real than I had up to that point.
Okay. Do you ever feel like you'd ever want to quit doing acid?
Sometimes. I have wondered if it has some harmful effect that I'm not aware of. I mean, the toxicity is less than that of vitamin C with pure LSD, but there are the potentials of...
Right. Everyone's heard the story, I'm an orange, don't peel me, but have you ever experienced anything like that, maybe on tripping acid?
There have been times when it's like my fantasy, like... I'm in like a fantasy world simultaneously while I'm in reality, and I feel that that could potentially make my, like, loosen my grip on reality, I suppose you could say.
Right. Is that only while you're on acid, or do you think that extends into when you're sober again?
That's a good question. The fact that I think about taking acid again would indicate that it still has an effect while I'm sober. But I'm not really scared of it, I guess.
Right. So what was maybe a good one of your best acid trips? What was do you think of any good stories for those?
Well, the first one that comes to my mind. I'd been hearing about acid for probably about a year, at least several months, before I actually tried it. And I did some research into it, so I was trying to see what I was getting myself into. And trying to find it. It was a while before I actually talked to anybody who said they could get it. And I ended up finding this guy who had 3 tabs left. And I bought all of them from him. I tried to get some friends to take them with me. Nobody was free at the time, and I just decided to take 3 by myself. And because I've heard people having really good times tripping by themselves. The person who discovered the effects of LSD was by himself.
Right. Yeah. He was on a bike trip on the way back from the laboratory.
Yep.
He had the first acid trip because it soaked through his skin or whatever.
Yeah. So I was aware that it was a very powerful substance at very low doses. And I didn't just take all 3 at once. I took them gradually and just felt them like gradually build up. At the time, I had been living in St. Paul. I had lost a job, I think, and I started another job that wasn't as good as the job I had before. I was just trying to figure out what I would want to do with my life, and I checked out a couple books at the library. One of them was called Psychic Empowerment for Everyone, and another was called Strategic Self-Hypnosis. And I was just in the library looking at the self-help section, and I was like, I would never think to check these books out, but they both look somewhat interesting and out of the norm. So I took them home. I was reading through them a little bit. But when I was on LSD, I went back to these books, and for some reason I was just compelled to search for meaning to my life. And I was looking through this book about psychic empowerment. It basically said everybody's psychic. Everybody has the ability for their mind to communicate with their body through their psyche, and that is psychic power.
Right.
And society has conditioned us to there's basically been a monopoly on, well, I don't know if monopoly is the correct word,
but an embargo.
Yeah, there's powers out there that are trying to direct our psychic power towards their means and not our own. And this book basically talks about steps you can take to gain your psychic power back and use the power of your subconscious mind to do the things that you're meant to do to fulfill your life. And I touched on self-hypnosis in the end of the Psychic Empowerment book. It said basically that we communicate with our mind through the use of symbols, and the way you can exercise your psychic powers by using symbols and giving meaning to them and giving yourself messages. That's a good way to build your psychic energy, is by positive affirmations. I mean, people have been talking about this stuff for years, and this book put it in a way that I really understood and made it sound a lot more interesting to me.
Right.
Because meditation, dreaming, all these things are basically a different form of self-hypnosis. Prayer, even. People pray for things, which they're basically hypnotizing themselves to go
hypnotizing
out.
It's a lot like meditation as well, they found out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was on LSD for the first time, reading this book, and it was talking about the use of symbols to psychically empower myself. And I thought, hey, this should mean, then I read this a little bit through the self-hypnosis strategies, and it had a few different scripts for people to stop smoking or overcome obesity and things like that, make positive changes in their life. And I reason that basically what this is the mastery of language to communicate with yourself and do the things you intend to do without getting in the way of yourself by just ignoring yourself, basically.
Right.
So I designed a script to win $200 at the casino, because I basically wanted to see how.
And what do you mean by script?
Just a little. The self-hypnosis strategies suggested, it had a bunch of different pre-written scripts for specific things that you would record on audio tape in your own voice and then listen to, and it walked you through a series of deep relaxation and visualization to connect as deeply into your subconscious as you could, much more deeply than I have had up to that point.
Okay.
While I was still awake, anyways. So I did a couple of these self-hypnosis scripts, but when I was on acid, I got the idea to do one to win $200 by playing blackjack at the casino, utilizing the symbols on the cards and the facial expressions of the dealers and certain cues that I knew I had the ability to pick up on to place the right bets.
Okay.
To walk away with $200. It shouldn't have been that hard. And it really wasn't. I hypnotized myself Just went into a deep state of relaxation, told myself pretty much step by step what I was going to do at the casino. I was going to go start at a small table with like $5 bets and work my way up till I had a decent stack, and then go work at a higher stakes table until I got $200.
Yeah.
And I did it. I went to the casino, and this is the most I've ever won at a casino at the time. Like, I'd won $80 on my birthday playing blackjack, and it was probably the seed of this little experiment. And that's kind of what I consider drugs to be, is like an experiment, the science of my consciousness. I'm just trying to determine what I can grasp as close to truth as possible.
Right.
Like, through different means than the ones that are force-fed to us through the avenues of society.
Right.
So I went to the casino and I ended up winning $200, just how I had hypnotized myself to do. And I was stunned. At the same time, like, I was pretty calm throughout it all. And it was like I'd already been there deciding to do this. So it was just like I was playing out the script I had prepared for myself. And
were you on acid at this time, or was it sober?
You were on acid while this whole time.
Oh, nice.
That was my first trip. I just realized a lot more potential of like the definitive direction I can take my life path. Like,
nice.
It's using words. You got to use precise words to get the precise results you want. After I won $200 at the casino, though, I do have to admit, I left the casino, put gas in my car, mm-hmm. bought a cool lighter that was like symbolic of the moment. There was like a tiger on it. I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest lighter I've ever seen. And then I thought, oh, that was so easy. I should be able to just go back and win like $300 more.
Yeah.
So I went back, but I was in my car. I didn't have the opportunity to like prepare a script and listen to my own audio recording.
Okay.
So I try to just hypnotize myself with my own inner voice, which isn't as effective. It, especially if you've already expended the psychic energy that it had taken to get that far that night. It was stretching my consciousness to places I didn't think were possible previously. I didn't think I could just tell myself to win $200 and go do it.
Right.
So the second time when I went back, I didn't have as good of a hypnosis program, and I ended up losing a chunk of the money that I'd won, but I still walked away with enough to cover the gas and plus some fun money. So
overall, a positive experience.
Yeah, that was my first acid trip.
That's pretty sweet. So have you had any horrible or bad experiences on acid?
You know, I really can't say that I have.
All positive?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I know when I was, I had tripped not as many times as you, but it was a pretty good trip for me, and it was only one hit. But even during the good, I would still have moments of, like, bad vibes almost, but I think that was more internal. Like, I was watching an episode of The Office, and the dude's eyes kept glowing red like the devil or something. But it was momentarily, you know, there, and it would pass, and I'd be back to, you know, a good trip. But yeah, I've never had anything bad myself.
Well, I've had things like that too, where I've felt my own kind of inner struggle come up, and that's always there though when I'm not tripping. So it's like overall, all my trips have been beneficial, and they've helped me face myself on a deeper level than I tend to while I'm sober.
Okay. Now, what other hallucinogens or psychedelics have you done?
I've taken psilocybin mushrooms. I've taken mescaline. And the first hallucinogen I ever took was a synthetic compound, a designer drug called 2CE.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Or 2CB, excuse me. It's a part of a family of which 2CE is a part of.
Is that one that you snort?
You can, and I did. I wish I didn't, but the person who I was doing it with recommended that, and it burnt like crazy, mm-hmm. but afterwards, like...
I've heard of experiences where it's like a complete ego death, which I've experienced with shrooms, but it's more immediate. What was your experience like?
I was... I've never heard the word ego death at that time, so I probably wouldn't have called it that, but it was something like that. I lost the sense of who I thought I had, was up to that point, and just, it was like a whole, it was like a blank slate of, like, consciousness here, like, just like a new wavelength to experience life through. And
without the feeling of being a human?
Almost. Yeah, I mean, I knew I was in a human body, but it was like I was more the consciousness inside the human body than I was the human body itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little worried that people were going to notice that I was something different than I was before.
While you were tripping?
Yeah.
And how long did this this 2CB last?
Probably 4 to 5 hours.
Wow, that's definitely longer than I thought it would.
We stayed at the... I took it at a Stars and Strikes bowling alley.
Right.
For that, in retrospect, I would rather have taken it somewhere...
in a comfortable setting?
Yeah. Not so close to a bunch of other people. But it turned out to be
that's
a good time.
Generally how I like to take my hallucinogens.
We played some laser tag. That was pretty epic. We drove home, and we were just having, like, really in-depth conversations, and just talking about stuff we didn't normally talk about, and I thought that was interesting.
Did you have visuals while you were on, or was it all just introspective, like...
There's a visual aspect to it. It wasn't, like, seeing things that weren't there, per se, but, like, the patterns and the textures of things seem more... vibrant and much more
enhanced.
Yeah, and if you focused on things, they would kind of like breathe, and like you got a much more sense that everything's vibrating, like, and you could see it visually. Like, mm-hmm.
Well, everything is vibrating.
Exactly. But you don't. I don't normally see that. Like, I see things as like being still,
static and still. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. All right, so let's touch on your psilocybin trips. How many of those do you think you've done?
Those are probably a bit less. I'd say about a dozen.
Yeah. And what was your normal dosage for those?
I've ranged from anywhere to like 0.7 of a gram to 7 grams.
Nice. So microdose to a heroic dose, as Terrence McKenna would say.
Yep. I think the first time I took about like a half eighth, and then I... did that a few times. It took like an eighth a couple times.
What was your first experience like on a half eighth?
It was interesting. I'd been trying all summer to find mushrooms, and finally...
You can't find them. They will find you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I felt. I felt like these mushrooms were waiting for me to be ready for them to thrust themselves into my situation, mm-hmm. at the time they did. I had... the day before, I was actually at this powwow on the Minnesota River with my mom and mm-hmm. my sisters. It was the most authentic powwow I'd ever been to at that point, up to that point. And there's a bunch of people dancing around selling crafts and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is really sweet. I wish I had more of this in my life, because I'm half Native, but I don't really get a chance to experience as much of that side of my culture as I'd like to. But I was with my friend, and we had both been wanting to try mushrooms together for several months. We talked about it. And finally, the day after this powwow, we managed to talk to a guy who said he had them and he'd sell them to us, and we got them. And we were just at his mom's house. We decided to just take them and chill at his house. And
how did you eat them? You just eat them raw, or did you boil them down, or just...
We just ate the mushrooms raw right out of the plastic bag we got. They didn't taste very good.
Usually don't.
We had to eat something right afterwards. I think we had like brownies or something, fortunately, yeah. to get the taste out of our mouths.
Yeah, I like to, when I do them, I like to eat like one little piece of a mushroom and then like chips in the other hand. You know, I just try and power through them.
Yeah, that seems to be the way to go. I've heard of a shaman who crush up his mushrooms and put them in a gourd and let them sit for 5 years and dry out, and then he would later smoke the powder.
Really?
Yeah, dried powder.
Wow,
mixed with some other herbs.
That's interesting. I'll have to look up on that. But yeah, I've also heard of people crushing them down and putting them in orange juice. And since there's really no scientific studies on it, you know, you got people saying that vitamin C is going to enhance your trip. Mm-hmm. And then you've got other people who say it does the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's all subjective, but that's also a good way to do it, I think, if you crush it up and put it in a liquid, because then you can just drink it down real quick, you know.
I've tried that with lemon juice. I heard lemon juice sucks out the psilocybin so that it hits your bloodstream faster and it makes the trip more intense, but it doesn't last as long.
Which is also true if you eat them on an empty stomach, you're gonna peak faster, and then it's gonna degrade much, much faster as well.
Yep.
So, anyways, you guys ate them at your friend's house, you said?
Yep. We were just hanging out in his room. He was on his computer playing games or whatever. I was watching TV. And there was like an anxiety. Like, there was just, we didn't, it was like an indecisive, we just felt really indecisive for like the rest of the day. Like, there's things we felt like we could do and we might want to do, but then we thought maybe we should do something else, and we had to like sit and talk, and like we didn't really end up making it far out of the house. We ended up going for a walk at one point, but
yeah, which is further than I've ever been.
Yeah,
I always stay inside. I'm too afraid.
Yeah, it was different but intriguing.
So did you get the giggles at all while you were doing them your first time?
Probably, yeah, I think so. That I went outside and looked at the grass, and it looked like the grass was breathing, or like almost the grass was like watching me. Like, mm-hmm. I've got a sense that like this consciousness that lives within everything is just like just monitoring everything.
It's a universal consciousness is what I felt I had when I had done my heroic dose, and that's, I was completely consumed by anything that was nature. Like the wind, I felt like it was trying to talk to me, mm-hmm. you know, so I can see how the grass is definitely looking at you.
Yep. it was nuts. There was some visual, just vibrant breathing. Like everything seemed to be breathing.
Right.
And the more you looked at something, the more like fractal the pattern seemed to just like blossom out of itself.
And have you had any bad experiences on mushrooms? Because I know I have. I've had some horrible experiences.
With mushrooms, I have had some more, like, darker trips where I felt more anxious, and that has... And I had a friend who ended up in the psych ward after we took 7 grams, and he just... The way he was talking to people after that, like...
Did he have a case of... was he diagnosed with schizophrenia at any point in his life?
No, I don't believe so. He did end up being diagnosed bipolar after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't think they had that diagnosis until he went to the psych ward after that.
Right. And that's what I've also heard is, you know, shrooms can be detrimental to someone with, you know, already having mental disorders like schizophrenia and bipolar.
Mushrooms. Heroic dose, bipolar.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. Sorry, guys. Ran out of memory on the card. Okay, so... Your buddy was bipolar, and he had got into the psych ward.
Yep. At that point, shortly after we took 7 grams of mushrooms together, he had taken mushrooms before that. We both had.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, though, we took LSD, and it was his first time. And that was what really tipped him over, I think. Like, the mushrooms were kind of... He had exhibited signs of, like, possible, I don't know, psychological issues, I guess.
Yeah.
And at that point, I wasn't too worried. But when we took LSD, I up until that point, I thought LSD was good for anybody. Like, it was amazing. Like,
right.
I'd never seen anybody have a bad time with it. But he did. And after that, I realized it's dangerous. I mean, it... Can be potentially dangerous.
Right. It's definitely not for everyone, but everyone should, you know, think about trying it at least once. As long as you don't have prior mental conditions or mental disorders in your family, I would definitely talk to a doctor before you try LSD or shrooms and see if you've got signs. But, I mean, your doctor will let you know. He's not going to
Don't go to your doctor and be like, hey, doc, is it cool if I take LSD?
Yeah, he's probably going to say no, but you could say, I'm interested in trying it. I want to know, you know.
Potential.
Right. And also, if you've got medications, it's always okay to ask your doctor if these medications are going to go bad or good with some drugs. I know most doctors will be straightforward about it. Was that pretty much the extent of the trip? You did seven grams, you said. Now, how intense was that compared to your half eighth?
The thing is, it was just like a much more full. Like I just felt more full of the energy that. Up to that point when I'd taken shrooms, like I felt a little bit of it, but it was just like bursting out of me when I took 7 grams. It was like I was like glowing
right
with this light from the psilocybin.
Interesting.
Mushroom consciousness.
Yeah, it's definitely a mushroom consciousness, it feels like.
Yep.
It's because the psilocybin molecule, it interacts with receptors in your brain that are actually part of the communication, you know, the tools that your brain uses, which is why it feels like the wind blows through the trees and the trees are like, hey, what's up? You know? Mm-hmm. but there's definitely something there. Because, I mean, mushrooms themselves are unrelated to any other organism on this planet, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The spores can also withstand the vacuum of space. You know, you got some people who think maybe they came in a meteorite and the spores were then seeded from like a panspermia type of thing. And then you've got grass-dwelling apes that are now, you know, they're eating roots out of the swamp, and now there's this new form of mushroom growing. They eat it, they get better visual acuity, and their mind is enhanced. Also, around the same time that, you know, there's a huge growth in the mammalian brain at that, you know, at a point in our history, and they think maybe it's linked, which is, you know, interesting, because if they're eating shrooms and they're getting better visual acuity, they're going to also eat better than their other... other mammals and
right, they'll be able possibly, to provide
possibly other apes that are, you know, still in the jungle more versus efficient. The ones that are the grass-dwelling hominids or whatever. All right, so those are some pretty interesting ones. Now, have you ever done DMT?
Yes. I did want to bring up one last thing about the mushrooms. Okay. There's actually a prominent scholar of the Dead Sea Scrolls who claims that there's a large possibility that the character... character named Jesus Christ was a psilocybin mushroom, a sacramental mushroom that the Jews had eaten from.
Right, you've like, got the 12 disciples who then share the bread of Christ. I'm using air quotes, people, which would be Christ himself, the mushroom.
Yeah.
And yes, I've had almost that exact experience on my heroic dose where it felt like I was communing with, be it God, Christ, or the universe, the universal consciousness. That's exactly how it felt. It looks like we're going to get rain here. But yeah, I felt like I was giving myself up to some entity bigger than me. And I don't know, you know me, I'm not a religious person by any sort, but it definitely felt like I was...
I think the truest religions were started from the use of psychedelic plants.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you got the red mushroom with the white caps that the Vikings would eat. They go berserk in battle, and then they die because of it.
But, oh, yeah.
So there's been religious use for shrooms for a long time. All right, so let's touch on DMT.
Okay.
So what was your... how did you find it? I mean, it's such a peculiar drug that, you know, you've got to have some pretty shady friends to even touch on it, you know?
Luckily for me, after the experience with trying so hard for so long to find mushrooms before they came around,
right.
I had just kind of been, like, networking with people in that scene who are genuinely, a lot of them are fun people, interesting people, smart people, some kind of sketchy, shady people, but... people nonetheless. And how did I don't remember.
That's
exactly
that's very important. These are people, even though they do drugs, they're people like you and me and everyone else. They're not just hippies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I think it's lost a lot of the time when someone says they do drugs or they've tried this, people give you that weird eye like you're a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's hard to even, you know, have conversations like this with someone who doesn't already have you know, some sort of opinion about it, and you don't get, you know, you can't even communicate proper information to them, which is,
well, it's all part of the brainwashing that is going on constantly.
Yes.
Our government was most...
Thank you, Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, they're the big organizations that are considered to be a part of the government. I have, my resources tell me that they were started by a foreign mafia, the same foreign mafia that basically started our government. And
you know, and it's interesting that
they sell drugs, but they don't want us to.
Right, and the interesting thing is that all these psychedelics are felonies. You have the smallest amount, and what happens when you have a felony is you can't vote. So they don't want you disturbing the structure of our society because with your different ideals, you know, is what seems like a big part of it. So before we get rained on here, your DMT experience, please.
I think the best DMT experience I ever had, I smoked a little bit after a concert, I think, and I'd stayed up all night, and it was morning, and this morning there was a thunderstorm, as well as like a really awesome sunrise.